Ladies and gentlemen, the USL Championship playoffs have begun.
It is time for the Rowdies Rundown and World Soccer Report with Buster DeLay as we go over all of what's happening in the world of soccer. And here is your host, Buster DeLay.
And welcome to the World Soccer Report. I sure am overjoyed to welcome you to one of my favorite times of the year, winter. Oh, and the USL playoffs, right here. I love to cover world soccer, as you know, but today I will be focusing primarily on the USL Championship crazy quarterfinal playoff games, including, as promised, exclusive interviews from some star players, so let's dive right in, starting as always with the Rowdies Rundown. The Tampa Bay Rowdies spanked Tulsa FC in what may be the wildest playoff game I have ever heard of, and my worldwide game of the week. The boys started out strong, dominating possession over the visitors, their signature defense of Aaron Guillen, Forrest Lasso, Jordan Scarlett, and Evan Lauro let not more than one or two shots in the first half. After relentless pressure, finally in the 21st minute, our leader, our captain, and our dear friend, Sebastian Guenzatti, poked the ball ahead. It took a sublime cross from Connor Antley, which fell right to Seba. He sort of fell on the ball, but luckily he was able to poke the ball in before Mo Jadama could block it off the line. Our second top scorer, Steven Dos Santos, then tapped in another shortly after, only for it to be disallowed due to shoving before the finish. The teams went into the break at 1-0 in favor of the Rowdies. Now, on to the next the second half was part of the same game? Well, one goal in the first half turned to seven more in the second. The Rowdies started from the interval with strength and intensity. They could have netted 4 or 5 in the first 5 minutes of the second half. However, two Saints strolled into Al Lang and forced Kembo Kibanto into an own goal. Soon after, those Saints popped up again and scored a header from a Lewis Hilton corner. Wait a minute, folks. I'm being told that the scorer was Dos Santos. So as I said, two Saints. After coming on as a substitute for the man who scored an own goal, Kibato, Eric Bird received 2 yellow cards and was sent off. Tulsa were next to strike, albeit down a man, and it was a beauty. Joaquin Rivas, the man from El Salvador, buried a tight finish past goalkeeper Evan Lauro, and all of a sudden, the pressure was really on the Rowdies. Fear not, for I know of a guy named Lucky M. Kosana. He came on in the 89th minute and had 4 touches on the ball. Here were those touches. 1. His first touch. 2. An assist. 3. A goal. 4. Another assist. Whoever can tell me a better impact substitute performance than this one gets a free beer on me. I'm kidding, I'm still underage. This 5-7 minutes at the end of the game nearly left me speechless. Get it? Speechless. Lucky M. Kosana scored once, and Leo Fernandez scored 2 quick-fire goals. However, within that time, Tulsa launched a rocket. Dario Suarez dribbled Lewis Hilton, took aim, then pressed launch. I swear this ball must have been flying at the speed of sound, and shout out to Joachim Graf, who, as the ball was flying in, mentioned how good Tulsa's attack was. Tulsa were, however, outplayed at the end of the day by the Rowdies, and that was that for the game. As I mentioned, I picked up some killer content just for you. To begin, for the first time ever, I welcomed Connor Antley to the show. Here with Connor Antley, midfielder number 2 for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Now, Connor, you were my man of the match for this game. You were up and down the wing. It was incredible. Your pace is just insane on the wing. How was it playing in this playoff game and knowing that you had to do well to make it through? How was that pressure and that excitement?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. Believe it or not, this was actually my first playoff game in the USL Championship. Yeah, so
you bossed it.
A lot of emotions. Appreciate it, man. A lot of emotions going into this game. We knew Tulsa was going to be a good team. Like, there, you know, no easy teams left. We're in the playoffs, but we knew that if we played our game, we get a lot of chances to the wingbacks, and I knew I was going to get the ball out wide. It was just all about what I did with my opportunity. So I got the ball out there and created that first goal. So, you know, good start, and it's always good when you get a good start. You can kind of build off that into the game. So that was really important for me and my emotions, and just playing with confidence. I think that's huge for players, especially young athletes. Like, when you get confidence and you start playing, you know, great things can happen. And I mean, what a great result. Score's not up anymore, but 6-2, I mean, really
crazy.
Good result for us, yeah.
And
How is it playing with the Rowdies, your first season with us? How is it being loved by the fans? We all love you here. How is it with the Rowdies?
Unbelievable. I mean, I played with Indy 11 last year, and great experience there. You know, they're a great club, but I don't think I felt what I feel here. You know, I love Neil Collins as a coach. I love Lee as our president, and, you know, everything they do for us, they set us up for success, and it's really easy to be a player and succeed here. So I love it. I'm really glad to have signed a 2-year deal, so I'll be back next year, which is really great. Yeah, so I'm just blessed, man. I'm excited with where we're at, and we just got to focus and get back to training on Monday and prepare for Birmingham.
And one more question: what is your relationship like with your teammates? Like, I saw in the game a lot, you and Jordan Scarlett passing back and forth, getting the ball down the wing, How is it like with your teammates?
Great question. I think the relationship between teammates is one of the most important things about being a part of a team. And I think that with this group of players and this team, I think we've got the best friendships and the best relationships on the team. I think I've got great friendships and relationships with everybody. You know, you try to build relationships with guys on the field, and that's how you're able to connect and just be better and build better. But building those relationships is really important, and I think that from the get-go, that was something I was able to do from the start, and I'm really happy with that, and, you know, I think you can see it on the field. So,
what an interview that was. Thank you so much, Connor. So, we have a new guest, but let's not forget about the veterans of the World Soccer Report interviews, Sebastian Guenzotti and Leo Fernandez. These two are so fun to talk to, and they always produce quality interviews alongside quality results on the pitch.
Here with Sebastian Guenzotti, forward number 13 for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and team captain. Now, Sebastian, how is it doing so well right out of the break? Scored 2 or 3 goals, it seemed like you could have at least, right after the break. How was that?
Yeah, we just talked a few things out in the locker room that we needed to do better. We came out and we did the job. You know, the guys came out with everything second half. We knew what we had to do, and we came out to perform.
And how was it in that first goal, the first goal situation where you kind of slid in, then got the toe poke on it to tap it in? What was it like breaking the deadlock? Because it was back and forth, a lot of back and forth. How was it like breaking the deadlock and going in front in this big, big, big quarterfinal game?
Yeah, it was really important for us to go up first, you know, especially playing at home with our fans. The atmosphere was unbelievable. The guys came out to play, and, you know, it was very, very important, and it felt really good to get that first goal. The ball kind of got tucked under my legs, but I got the toe out and poked it right in the net, so it felt good.
And was there any pressure going into the game, especially with you as captain, having to lead the side, make sure everybody's in their positions, doing their jobs? Was there any pressure coming into this game?
No, I don't think pressure, but yeah, there was a lot of, you know, we wanted to play. There was a lot of excitement. The guys, we were ready. We knew what we, you know, trained during the week was excellent, and we came out here and performed it. The guys were on top of everything. I didn't have to do much on the field, scream at all, but, you know, at the end we got the job done, and the guys were unbelievable.
Here with Leo Fernandez, midfielder number 11 for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Now, Leo, how was it in the last 10 minutes of the game? You popped up, scored a couple of goals, had a great time out there. How was that last 10 minutes?
It was fun, man. A lot of fun. The game opened up. I knew if I just got in the box, it was going to be chances. And luckily, you know, he set me up really nice. So thank you for him.
How was the response right after halftime? Because we were up by 1 at halftime and came out. Looked like we could have scored 4 or 5 in the first 2 minutes after halftime. What was said at halftime, and how was the response from the team so good for that?
Yeah, you know, Neil just said, just keep doing what we're doing, because we played well the first half. We felt like we could have had more than one goal the first half. And, you know, we turned it up in the second half, and, you know, the goals kept coming.
Thank you to the legends who joined me after the game. And now on to the other games, starting with a story almost as sad as a championship final last year. Cue the world's smallest violin playing the world's saddest song. Yes, it came to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds after their stellar, absolutely fantastic, superb, I cannot use words to describe how good their season was. They're just out, just like that. And they didn't even lose. In fact, they didn't even play. They were unable to form a functioning squad due to the amount of COVID-19 cases on the team. This means Birmingham Legion automatically advance and are set to duel the Rowdies at Al Lang Stadium. Well, you know what that means. More exclusive content next week, so make sure to stay tuned. Anyway, back to the point. The Riverhounds are out of the playoffs. Louisville City FC took down the Miami FC in a game they were edging out the whole match. They won by 1-0 as the Spaniard Jorge Gonzalez curled his shot past Jeff Caldwell. Wait a minute, Jeff Caldwell? Doesn't he play for Hartford Athletic? Well, here is one of the most interesting transfer stories you will ever hear. Add this to your trivia list. Caldwell was called to Miami on an emergency loan, which I did not know was a thing before this, for the playoffs. He did all he could, coming up with a man-of-the-match-worthy showing in goal. However, his stay at the Miami FC lasted a mere 24 hours. Well, you don't hear that every day. The Charlotte Independents defeated Memphis 901 at home, meaning they will duel Louisville. Cody Cropper, 901's goalkeeper, made an error early on, as in the 10th minute he passed the ball right to Joel, who was obliged to tap in. In the 32nd minute, Christian Fuchs, former Premier League winner, forced the ball over the line.
Hey, didn't you interview Fuchs?
Oh, great question, monster under my bed. I certainly did. You could find this amazing interview yourself by searching up THE World Soccer Report, not all one word. In fact, all separate words on Anchor or Spotify. The show will be titled Premier League Champion Interview. While you are there, make sure to drop me a follow and check out my past shows. Back to the game. Sylvain Marvaux scored the third goal, but not before Memphis' top scorer, Kyle Murphy, netted with Memphis' biggest chance of the entire match. Moving over to the Western Conference, I'm here to deliver huge news.
Breaking news! Phoenix Rising, one of the teams predicted to win the championship final, has been eliminated by Rio Grande Valley FC on penalties.
Boubacar Ndiaye scored off an incredible dribble sequence that was all his own work to put some pressure on Phoenix, who responded with Solomon Asante curling his shot wonderfully from a free kick just a few minutes later. Arturo Rodriguez next scored for Phoenix before Rodrigo Lopez's free kick was sensational. In extra time, with the scores tied, Rio Grande needed a hero, so they called upon number 9, Elvis Amo. It was to be Phoenix who scored first in extra time, and it was Asante again. Then, Rio Grande get awarded a penalty, which Elvis Amo buries. In penalties after the full 120 minutes, Rio Grande keeper Colin Miller came up massive to make some critical saves before, yet again, Elvis Amo stepped up and scored the winning penalty. Huge props to RGV for this upset. What a match. Orange County Soccer Club defeated Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC 1-0. They were at the disadvantage from the off, since in the 31st minute when defender Robert Kiernan was sent off. However, their team is superb, and their star forward Ronaldo Damas only needs one shot, and that's what he got, and that's when he found the back of the net. German goalkeeper Patrick Rakowski was clutch to holding on to the win, as his 5-save shutout was met with a Man of the Match award. Another upset. This time it was El Paso Locomotive who were sent home earlier than expected. They were defeated by the Oakland Roots, who just barely made the playoffs. They didn't have a particularly poor game, they were just swiped aside by one Jeremy Bokila shot. Both goalkeepers, Logan Ketterer and Paul Blanchette, were excellent, but Blanchette wins Man of the Match with his 4-save shutout. The final quarterfinal match was between San Antonio FC and San Diego Loyal. San Antonio were the favorites coming into the match, and they did indeed prove stronger than San Diego. It took a strike from each striker, Nathan Fogaca and Santiago Patino, and a Man of the Match performance from Mohamed Abu to win the game. With all that information, here are the upcoming semifinal games themselves. The Tampa Bay Rowdies will take on Birmingham Legion at home. Louisville City FC will duel Charlotte Independence. San Antonio FC will go against Rio Grande Valley FC. And finally, Orange County SC will face the Oakland Roots. What are your predictions for these exciting matchups? Let me know by direct messaging me on Instagram. Oh, that this doesn't feel right. I have to say the signature line. It makes me happy. Be sure to follow my Instagram account at World Soccer Report. That's at symbol World Soccer Report. All one word. And if you're listening on the radio, be sure to drop by my Spotify show archive by searching up THE World Soccer Report. Not all one word. Thank you for listening, and as always, thank you to RadioSaintPete.com for being my home base here on the show. This has been the World Soccer Report, and I'll see you at the game.